Welcome back, guys, to another episode of Great Lakes Football Talk. This is episode 17, and today we're talking about the NFC North. So we do not have any special guests today because Adam and Eric both represent the NFC North with their teams. So unfortunately, you guys don't get to hear anybody special. Before we get into that part of the show, we're going to talk about some news that has happened over the past week since our last show. The biggest one, fantasy-wise, is that the NFL would not suspend Tyreek Hill. We'll probably talk more about him come AFC West podcast, which is in a couple of weeks. But for now, we'll get our thoughts on him. He immediately slots in as a top 10 wide receiver and a top 24 drafted player. So if you're in a 12-man league, that's the first two rounds for anybody that doesn't know how to do math. Do you guys want to say anything about him? I mean, I know we all got thoughts about him. Leave the personal stuff off. Let's just talk about his play on the field and what he does to your rankings.
He definitely gets boosted up quite a bit. I mean, knowing that he'll be there as of now with all 16 games, bearing injury, and you have to consider him being a top 10 receiver. I mean, we've seen what Patrick Mahomes did last year with Hill and Kelce and the rest of the core. There's no reason why to think they can't at least produce the same thing, if not maybe a little bit better personally, since they have another year of chemistry underneath their belt. So it's definitely a big boost. I'm surprised though he didn't get suspended. I mean, there was a lot of evidence pointing his way, but I mean, I guess they seen something that we didn't. So I mean, it's their decision, but he's a good football on the field again.
Yeah, he slides in at number six for me in PPR. He's right behind. You know, I have OBJ outside and Mike Evans in, where most people have their top five with OBJ in, but he slides right behind them. The biggest hits to Sammy Watkins, but I still think Sammy's an asset. I think I'm going to move him down to maybe 28 to 30. So I still think he's a draftable guy, but he's not a fifth-round pick anymore. And it renders Mecole Hardman essentially useless, in my opinion, in redraft. So those are the guys that take the hits.
Yeah, definitely Sammy Watkins. I'm glad you brought him up. He definitely took the biggest hit out of everybody here. I've heard arguments about Kelce taking hits, but he's still going to get his. There's definitely no thoughts on Kelce taking any kind of hit here. Obviously some targets are going to go away, but Kelsey's still going to finish as the number one tight end. Sammy Watkins is definitely the biggest hit here. But I mean, maybe he's definitely a little cheaper now and could be taken a little bit later in drafts and be a good wide receiver three or maybe flex play, especially in an offense that's going to score a lot of points. Moving on to a little bit less fantasy noteworthy, but still possibly something. Darren Sproles returns to the Eagles on a one-year deal. All that signing really does to me is it just adds another body to an already crowded backfield. Jordan Howard is brought in. They drafted rookie Miles Sanders, and then to go with already Corey Clement, Wendell Smallwood, and Josh Adams. As training camp goes on, I think that the position will start to round itself out, but it's definitely a situation to keep your eyes on. Darren Sproles, he doesn't jump into any of my rankings right now. Even in leagues where you get points for kick and punt returns, they still had DeSean Jackson, or they brought back DeSean Jackson. So that kind of, I don't know how much he's going to do in the return game or anything like that. But it's definitely, again, it's another body adding to an already crowded backfield. And we don't even know who the number one is there now. Rookie Miles Sanders is definitely a dynasty person to pick up. But outside of that, I don't know if I'm touching anybody in the Philly backfield. How about you guys?
I'll take a shot on guys late, but it depends on how – I kind of like Jordan Howard. I think he actually has the most – I think he's going to get the most use, but not in a PPR. So that's the thing. I play mostly PPR. So, but, yeah, like you said, it's so crowded. I'm probably just going to avoid it in general. If Jordan Howard falls far, I might take him. I was taking Miles Sanders, but now that Darren Sproles is there, it's just too crowded. I'm probably avoiding.
Yeah, your best bet is if you draft the weekend before the league starts, I mean, you have to expect at least two, three of these guys are going to get cut. Even Darren Sproles just signing, he still is a possibility to get cut. I would, if I have a very late draft, I would wait and then see how it plays out. But if targeting anybody, Jordan Howard, I mean, you'd have to imagine he's still young. He's the RB1 there as of now. You can't really slide a rookie ahead of him because we haven't seen anything from him yet.
Yeah, once, as like I said, as the camp goes on and we start to get a feel for who's who's going to be on the field more and who their running back one's going to be or what kind of workload they're going to get. That's why the later drafts might – the Eagles backfield might benefit any kind of later drafts after week three, maybe drafts right before the season starts. But until then, it's any early drafts that I got. I'm probably not touching them at all. And finally, for news and notes, something minor, but Super Bowl MVP Julian Edelman is expected to miss a couple weeks with a thumb injury. It's not too much of a story due to the lack of playing time that the Patriots starters typically see in the preseason. And Edelman already has an unbroken chemistry with Tom Brady. His draft stock really shouldn't take a hit as we approach the redraft season, but definitely something that's noteworthy because he is kind of in that. He's one of the safest wide receiver twos that you're going to get. Any thoughts on him, or do we want to move on?
No, he's fine.
Yeah, you know what you're going to get with him.
All right, perfect. Don't want to get too much into all the players that really aren't showing up to camp or any of the there's not really any major offensive injuries that have happened the past couple days, a couple defensive ones. But if you want to find out any of that stuff, just hit up our page, Fantasy Football Fraternity on Facebook. We got all the news and notes on there. Every breaking news, every injury we're posting. So just check it out. So moving on to the NFC North, our final NFC division. As we mentioned earlier, and as you guys have known just throughout the last few podcasts and since the beginning, Adam's a Lions fan, Eric's a Packers fan. They're probably going to be battling it back and forth today. But we're going to start out with the Chicago Bears here and then just work our way down the list. So getting into Chicago, their first five-round ADPs, David Montgomery, the rookie running back, he's going in the fourth round. And Tariq Cohen, their other running back, is going right at the end of the fifth round. I'm getting my ADPs from the Fantasy Football Calculator and doing it PPR and using 12-team leagues. So 5-12 is where Tariq Cohen's going. David Montgomery's going 404. And we'll kick it over to you, Adam. What's your thoughts on the Bears and their fantasy players this year?
I like the roster overall. Trubisky is a sleeper, somewhat of a sleeper quarterback. David Montgomery, I'm a huge fan of. I took him in our Dynasty League with, I think, the fifth pick. There was veterans in there, but I grabbed him. Cohen, PPR leagues, he's one of the top running backs when it comes to PPR. And then Allen Robinson, Anthony Miller, they're more of, like, I think, sleeper wide receivers. Maybe Allen you can depend on more than anybody else there, but none of these guys that say superstar yet. And then Trey Burton, he's shown flashes when he was at Philadelphia, so I'm hoping he can just take another step forward in Chicago and maybe be fantasy relevant since, you know, this tight end group is just outside of the first handful of guys. It's really rough.
Eric?
Yeah. Well, I think when I look at this roster, the offensive players, the fantasy relevant guys, I see a lot of boom or bust kind of dudes. I think that's Trubisky. I think you're going to get 3 to 5 games that he's going to win you a week, but then you're going to get a lot of dud games with him throughout the rest of the year. I think the exact same thing about Tariq Cohen. Anthony Miller, I really like his talent, but he is – you guys know, I mean, we talk a lot. I'm not a Trubisky truther. I think he's wildly inconsistent. I don't think he's the kind of guy that's going to produce much of a superstar wide receiver. I think Allen Robinson may be the most consistent player on the team this year, if he can stay healthy. I really like Anthony Miller's upside, but that's going to, really depend on Trubisky's growth as an NFL quarterback. David Montgomery, I liked a lot. As I dig into it, it's hard to fade Mike Davis and just pretend he's not there. And then Tariq Cohen's going to get a lot of that third down work. I'm a little worried about this year, the touches for David Montgomery. I think he's going to be a good player going forward. But, I might be avoiding that backfield in general. Trey Burton, I think, was the number 8 tight end last year, but that says a lot more about the wasteland of tight ends than it does the greatness of Trey Burton. He was up and down. I had him in a couple leagues. But I think he could be good. He could be good this year, at least, finish top 10 like he did last year. But I don't know how happy you're going to be about it. The defense is awesome. I'm not going to draft them because they go too early, but they are a dynamite unit. I mean, they're shut down. So
yeah, they definitely have a handful of players that could be fantasy relevant outside of David Montgomery. The other fantasy rookie that I have written down here, at least, is Riley Ridley, but that's more for Dynasty. That's down the road. He's kind of the number four there, so don't really know what he's going to do. We joke around with one of the guys in our chats about Mitch Trubisky, but, I mean, you hit the nail right on the head. He is a little inconsistent. He does have a 6-touchdown game under his belt, but he also has a couple 15-pass games under his belt. I mean, yeah, those were in his rookie year, but you never know what you're going to get from him. He's definitely somebody that if you want him, if you think that he has the upside there, you can get him in the 14th, 15th round and just load up on offensive skill positions the rest of the draft if you want. Montgomery, I do like. I'm glad you mentioned Mike Davis, though. I actually completely forgot about him until you said him. If it was just Montgomery and Cohen, I would take Montgomery in the fourth round comfortably where he's going. But because they might have Mike Davis there, it's something that I'm going to have to second guess that, because it is a little crowded backfield. I do like Montgomery, though. It 404 is a little too high for me. Allen Robinson going in the seventh round, that's definitely a pick that I like there. Anthony Miller, he hasn't really shown too much yet, but he is the wide receiver too there. And if Mitch Trubisky is going to continue to grow, you have to think that Anthony Miller is going to be more involved there. And then a guy that we haven't mentioned, I don't know if he has too much value, but that's Taylor Gabriel. He's kind of the guy that's before Riley Ridley, but after Robinson and Miller. Definitely somebody that's going to be out there on three receiver sets, and he's kind of one of those boom or bust players. So not really, maybe he's a best ball player, but he's not somebody that I would trust every week. And you mentioned the defense already. They are one of the top defenses in the league, but where they're going, and especially where I draft my defense, I'm definitely not taking them, because I don't draft before the 14th or 15th round for my defense there. And then their kicker, probably not touching it at all. They don't have Cody Parkey anymore after that double doink in the playoffs against Philadelphia. Currently, number one on their depth chart is Elliott Fry. I have no idea who that is. They did have another kicker on their depth chart, and there was news, I think, that came across today that they are going to be monitoring other camps and kicking battles and see. So we might even see a different kicker on this roster before week one starts. Going on to Minnesota. Obviously, they got Kirk Cousins there that signed an $84 million contract last year, so he's going into year two. Their five-round ADP that I got for them is Dalvin Cook, going at the beginning to middle of the second round, 205. And then their pair of wide receivers, Adam Thielen, going at 3-1, and Stephon Diggs going at 3-11. Let's start out with you, Eric.
Okay. I really like Dalvin Cook. I think his injury history is the major concern for him. That's what everybody's – I think if he had played the last 2 years fully, he'd be – firmly seated in the first round, where, you know, everybody be talking about him with David Johnson maybe after those first four. He does everything right. He can catch the ball. He moves well in and out of breaks. And, he just needs to stay on the field. So I am interested in him, where he's going. If I decide to take, you know, Adams or Hopkins in the first round, he falls down to the middle of the second round. I have no problem with him as my RB1. Adam Thielen, at the end of last year, I think it was the last six game stretch, he was – really bad after they changed offensive coordinators last year, and that's when Stephon Diggs stepped up and became one of the better wide receivers towards the end of the year. Ended up helping me win a couple leagues. So Adam Thielen goes at 301. I even see him go a little earlier than that. He goes right before guys like Keenan Allen and AJ Green and Amari Cooper, all three guys of which I'm more interested in than Thielen. I'm more interested in Diggs than Thielen, and Diggs, his ADP is 311. I see him fall into the middle of the fourth round a lot. And that's, if I'm in the fourth round and Diggs is there, I'm taking him every single time. He's my wide receiver 9. I think he has huge upside this year. I don't like Alexander Mattison, the rookie, as a backup. I mean, as a backup, I guess if you want to cuff your guy, I wouldn't do it. I don't know if he's even, I don't like his tape when I watched him in college. So he's a guy I'm fading. The tight end, I think it's still Kyle Rudolph. Irv Smith's there, but I'm not drafting either one of those guys either. Kirk Cousins, I think he's sleepy, or, you know, he's a sleeper at the, what is it, 13th round he's going. I think that that's good value for him. I don't necessarily want him as my QB1, but if I happen to just stack up running backs and wide receivers all the way through the draft and I miss on Dak Prescott in the 12th, then I wouldn't hate it going into the, and with Kirk Cousins. I think he finishes 14 last year, QB 14, which going as I think he's going now is the QB 20. So that's pretty good value. And yeah, Dan Bailey, he's a good kicker. The defense, I think, will step up this year and be good. I think they're falling further than they should. So if I can get one of them in the 14th round, I might grab the Vikings defense.
Good stuff there, Adam. What do you got on them?
Yeah, Delvin Cook, I own him in two leagues. And he stayed healthy. I think he can be one of the best backs in the league. When he's on the field, we've seen the talent. Alexander Mattison, he's not going to touch 140 carries that Latavius Murray's leaving behind. The majority of those will go, if pretty much all of them, I think, will go to Cook if he can stay healthy and play 16 games. None of the tight ends I'm touching just because who knows which one's actually going to be the main focus. Diggs over Thielen for sure, even though I do own Thielen. The first half of season was wonderful. He basically won me every week. And then at the last half, like Eric mentioned, it was just down. But Diggs for sure. The defense is a defense that could definitely – you can use for, what, maybe a handful of their weeks or their games. I mean, it's something to look at off the waiver wire or if you want to use a late-round pick on a defense. But nothing too nothing too shocking. I mean, you know, everybody's on the field. Cousins, I think he could be a guy that I like taking a quarterback in the rounds and just doubling down on like the 11th to 12th round or 12th and 13th. So I could get him and a Stafford or, you know, him and, you know, maybe like a Matt Ryan, though Matt Ryan's going a little bit earlier. But just to pair him, I mean, you can't go wrong. I mean, I do think he bounces back from the season he had because it wasn't necessarily a bad season. I just think that we expected more, like in real life football. You know, he had 30 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. I mean, he wasn't a bust signing by any means. When it comes to fantasy, it's just I think the more success they have in the regular season, I think it's going to basically be because of Kirk Cousins, and that'd benefit fantasy owners.
I think the thing about Kirk Cousins that dropped off last year, I think he was pretty much a lock for 3 or 4 rushing touchdowns every year. And then he didn't get those last year. And I think that's what dropped him from like where he typically finishes between 7 and 10 all the way out to 14. That is really the difference in points. You know, 3 rushing touchdowns can take you from 7 to 14.
Yeah, that definitely is the difference because he did have his career high in touchdowns passes by 130 and his other career high or his career high before that was 29. He has career low in interceptions. In a full season, he's hit 9 and 7 and 3 a couple times, but that's when he didn't play all 16 games. And he had his second highest in yards behind a – he had 42.98 in 2016. He had 49.17. So the passing was definitely there. He's – and I've said this multiple times just off the mic in our chat that – he's what you want in a fantasy quarterback, basically. I mean, he's not worth $84 million. He's not a quarterback that I want leading my team to root for, but he's a quarterback that I wouldn't mind drafting in fantasy and having him on a weekly basis. I'll take 30 touchdowns, 10 interceptions if I'm getting him that late all day long. Obviously, if I'm getting quarterback earlier on, I'm looking more towards the 35, 40 touchdown range, but 13th, 14th, 15th round, I'll take Kirk Cousins at 30 touchdowns. No problem at all. As far as their rookies, you already mentioned Alexander Mattison. He is more of a – I got – now, when I do these notes, I write down, like, what they're best for. I put Dynasty, but that's not really a I wouldn't even call it that. It's more of a handcuff because Dalvin Cook is pretty much going to be around just as long as Mattison is going to be around. He's only a couple seasons older than him. And then Irv Smith, their tight end that they got, but they did sign Kyle Rudolph to a 4-year, $36 million extension. So he's going to be sticking around for a little bit. It's just more weapons for Kirk Cousins to get up to the 30 to 35 touchdown range. I do like pretty much all these guys. I don't like Adam Thielen, where he's going, like you, Eric. I'll definitely wait around later and get Stephon Diggs. But Dalvin Cook, I wouldn't mind him as my RB1 or RB2 if I double up on RBs in the top two rounds. And then Irv Smith, more of a dynasty player there too, and Kyle Rudolph. I mean, if I'm picking late in the draft and I haven't had a tight end yet, I'd definitely go out and grab him.
What round did they draft Irv Smith? Was it second?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't understand that. I don't understand why they drafted Irv Smith and then signed Kyle Rudolph to 4 years. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, the signing Kyle Rudolph doesn't make a lot of sense to me either, because I thought that once they drafted Irv Smith, I didn't think they were going to release him, but I thought he was going to be traded in. I even thought he was going to be traded to the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, other than they're hoping that another tight end who can actually catch and do everything, maybe that'll help Kirk Cousins a little bit more to actually have him win more games. I mean, outside of that, it's a head scratcher. I mean, they could have went numerous other directions with their second round pick and picked up a backup tight end. And what, this class was deep. They could have went round 4 or 5, even 6, and potentially found a really good backup for Kyle Rudolph.
Yep.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense at all. Now moving on to the two teams that we're here to talk about the most. We flipped an imaginary coin and Eric lost, so he has to talk about the Packers first, and then we end off with the Lions. So I'll let you kick us off here with the Packers. But first, I'll mention the 5-round ADP first. Davante Adams is going in the first round as either the first or second wide receiver off the board, kind of flip-flopping with Hopkins. Aaron Jones, their running back, is going in the third round, 301 they got him at. And then Aaron Rodgers towards the end of the fifth round as the second or third quarterback off the board. So, Eric, kick us off with Green Bay.
All right. Yeah, Adam said ladies first, and I think he said that because the Packers wear rings and the Lions don't. That's all I can think of. Davante Adams, he's my number one receiver. He's going, you know, right in the middle of the first round. If I don't get my top five guys, the top four, and then DJ, I'm taking Adams at number six. On a per-game basis last year, he was the number one wide receiver. If he hadn't missed week 17, he would have finished as the number one wide receiver, 22 points a game. You can't ask for anything more. His consistency was 100% as a wide receiver two. He didn't finish outside of a wide receiver two in any game that he played last year, which is pretty freaking amazing. And Aaron Jones, everybody saw it last year when he was on the field and actually starting. He was one of the most electrifying running backs on the field in the game. I think he was averaging 5.5 yards a carry. He can catch out of the backfield. He's everything you could want in an explosive running back, which attached to Aaron Rodgers and, you know, exciting offense is about all you could ask for from your running back. He's going into the third round. I get into the third round and he's there. It's pretty much an auto pick for me. I was taking Leonard Fournette over him. Now I'm kind of on the fence with those two guys. If I have, you know, four drafts where I'm drafting in that spot and have that choice, maybe I'll take two Aaron Jones and two Leonard Fournette. So, you know, I'm right there with those guys. Aaron Rodgers at 509. He is my quarterback three right now behind Mahomes and Watson. But at 509, I mean, if he actually falls into the sixth round and I have my you know, two running backs, two wide receivers and a flex filled up, I might just snatch him because he has, you know, QB1 potential. Every year he's played, all year he's finished either as the number one or number two quarterback. So I think that's actually pretty good value. In most home leagues, you're not going to get him there. He's going to go earlier because that's how home leagues work with quarterbacks. But the big one is – big thing with the Packers, in my opinion, is the Marcus Valdes-Scantling, Geronimo Allison battle. Now, as it sounds like to me, they're going to move Allison into the slot to be the big slot receiver and leave MVS outside, which I think is best. Aaron Rodgers actually can carry three fantasy-relevant wide receivers. I lean Marquez Valdes-Scantling, but where they're going, I think it's – here I got it here. It's in the eighth and the ninth round. And as far as I'll grab both. If I'm there in the eighth, I'll grab Allison, and then I'll wait for the ninth, and I'll grab MVS. And one of them's going to end up being a top 30 guy. I mean, there's just no question. That's how Aaron Rodgers rolls. And so I'll be happy with one of those guys. And if the other one's not playing well, I'll just drop him. Or if they're all three playing well, I'll trade one of them. Mason Crosby, you know, he's a stud. He's on a high-powered offense. He's a kicker you want to draft. The defense, I think, is a sleeper defense this year. It's a defense you can take at the end, very end of your draft. You don't have to worry about any of it. You could probably even pick them up on waivers after because they sucked last year. But they made a lot of really noteworthy additions, and I think that it's a unit that's going to step up under Mike Pettine this year. I think that it's going to be a different unit that you're going to see. And I really like Jair Alexander. If you play IDP, he's I think he's going to step in and be a legitimate shutdown corner this year. So Darnell Savage, the rookie, I think he's another guy that's going to step right in and be pretty darn amazing. I love his name, too. You can come up with all your fantasy names if you draft him. So that's my take on my team, the Packers.
Yeah, Darnell Savage, definitely be nice to get a Savage jersey. The Packers' first four opponents for their defense, little sketchy. I mean, they got the Bears, who it's in Chicago. That's a Thursday night season opener. Definitely, I mean, those scores could be a little low scoring, but I mean, it also has the potential to be high scoring game too. And then they got the Vikings as their home opener, and then they stay at home versus the Broncos. Actually, they got three home games in a row, and then they got the Eagles going into Lambeau. So, I mean, the being at home definitely helps them out, I believe, but definitely some tough competition there. The Vikings, as we mentioned, their offensive talent that they have there. The Broncos, I don't really think that you could sleep on the Broncos. And I'm kind of excited to get to the AFC West, because we got to talk about Melvin Gordon. We got to talk about Tyreek Hill, and we got to talk about the Broncos and their offense there too. And then the Eagles, who has a high powered offense too. So that's their first 4 weeks as far as the defense goes. So, I mean, if people actually look into that, you might even be able to get them undrafted and just pick them up after the draft, especially with how they finished last year. But definitely some good points there. Adam, what are your thoughts on the Packers, besides that you hate them?
Well, continuing on about their defense, I mean, the only thing, my biggest worry about their defense in real life and in fantasy is that they're all super young for the most part. I mean, their middle linebackers are fairly young. Their secondary is probably one of the youngest, if not the youngest in the league. But they do have talent there. I mean, Alexander is going to be just an animal. But it's something to wait and see. I mean, they took Rashawn Gary, who I watched at Michigan, and he can get to the quarterback. It's just, overall, there's going to be growing pains in real life for that defense. So I think maybe you wait and you take them next year, let them all grow one more year. But the offense, I mean, it goes through their ceiling goes through Aaron Rodgers. I mean, if he's healthy, he's on the field. You got a legitimate QB1. Adams, he plays to his round one potential, or his round one draft spot where he's getting drafted right now. And even I think if Rodgers were to miss more time, I think Adams would still be a weekly starter. But I mean, I'd be somewhat worried about his production with anybody other than Rodgers, just because they don't have another quarterback on that team that can do what Rodgers does. And then Aaron Jones is a huge sleeper. I mean, if he's going to be the clear cut starter this year. If I can grab him in round three where he's going, I probably would, even though I don't like having star players from other teams on my roster, because I kind of want them to lose when they're going against the Lions, and that affects me fantasy wise. But the one guy I'm actually really looking forward to is Jay Sternberger. I think Dynasty, he's going to have more potential than he does right now. He's more of a long-term solution for them at tight end. But if you're in Dynasty leagues, you grab him fairly early, because I think Aaron Rodgers is going to love him. I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up getting past Jimmy Graham, and Jimmy Graham takes more of a tight end two role, probably about mid-season, because Sternberger just – he's such a raw player right now. I mean, he can just be absolutely dynamite and one of the potential, maybe like a George Kittle, OJ Howard type guy in the next year or two. He's going to be just really good.
I'm glad you mentioned actually both the tight ends. I got them both here on my list. Jay Sternberger, I do have him down as a dynasty player. Definitely somebody to look for in the future. But Eric didn't mention Jimmy Graham at all. I don't know what his thoughts are on him, but I think that this is going into his second year with the Packers offense. Yeah, they got a new head coach, but going into a second year with Aaron Rodgers, we'll say, I think he has the potential to finish as a top 10 tight end. And yeah, that's not saying much, because again, we keep on saying it, outside of the top three, it's kind of hit or miss. But he's going in the 13th round, end of 13th round. So definitely doesn't cost you much to pick up a tight end that's catching balls from Aaron Rodgers. So that's Jimmy Graham there. I 100% completely agree with both of you on Aaron Jones. I love him. I love him at 301. He's definitely a guy that I'm going to be looking for. And I'll even grab him late second if I'm picking there. Aaron Rodgers, he's a little bit too rich for my blood. I like to take my quarterbacks later. I'm really not looking at the fifth or sixth round for my quarterback, even if he does fall into the sixth. I think I'm still going to avoid. He could put up QB1 numbers, but I don't know. I mean, we'll have to see what happens when the draft day actually comes and I'm sitting there and Aaron Rodgers is there at 603, for example, and we'll see what I do. Adams, I think I got Hopkins as number one, but Adams is definitely a close number two. They're going to flip flop all season. It's going to be a good neck and neck race. And I'd be happy with either one of them if I'm picking middle of the first round. Allison and Valdes-Scantling, you hit the nail right on the head with both of them, Eric. Aaron Rodgers definitely has a potential to produce two and three top 30 receivers. So I wouldn't go back to back with them like you said you would in the eighth and ninth round. I'll definitely be comfortable grabbing one of them, though. That's no problem at all. Do you have any thoughts on Jimmy Graham before we move on?
Me? I think he's going to give you a headache if you draft him and actually try and play him as your starting tight end. You got the three wide receivers who will all demand more targets. I mean, he's a touchdown guy. That's really what it is. So he's going to be a guy. And like you said, it's a wasteland after the top six. You know, it's not really waste. You know, Howard Ingram and Henry, I wouldn't call. I think they're pretty locked in for at least top eight guys. But after that, you're kind of touchdown or bust for the most part anyway. But no, yeah. I'm avoiding. I'm not drafting him.
All right. And then you guys already mentioned the two IDP guys that I got here for fantasy rookies, Rashawn Gary and Darnell Savage. So, good roster all the way around. Their defense could be good. Their offense is, as long as Aaron Rodgers is clicking with his playmakers, they're going to put up a lot of points this year. And now finally, we're going to talk about the Detroit Kitty Cats. listen, I'm a Bills fan and I could only talk smack about a handful of teams. So, and Detroit's one of them. So you're going to get it. You're going to get it from me. Before you kick us off, Adam, we'll talk about their five-round ADP. Kerryon Johnson going at the end of the third round at 312, and then Kenny Galladay at 409. Both guys that I absolutely love. I'll grab either one of them. I do, and I know that Eric's going to talk a little bit about him. Marvin Jones a little bit later. He's going a whole five rounds later than Kenny Galladay. So he's definitely more sexy there, but Kerryon Johnson, hands down, I would take him end of the third, definitely in the fourth if he falls there, even closer to the middle of the third. I know you got a stat on him, so why don't you go over that and then talk about your team there.
No, I mean, it's I'm so excited about Kerryon Johnson and this offense as a whole, just because the new offense coordinator we got, Darrell Bevell, I think that's how you pronounce the name. I know it's bad, but I'm horrible at pronouncing names. He has 12 seasons as a offensive coordinator, and 10 of those seasons, his team finished in the top 10 in rush yards. So, I mean, the Lions are bringing back their whole starting offensive line from last year, which wasn't horrible by any means. I mean, you could rate him in the middle of the pack, but when you got somebody like Kerryon Johnson, when you watched him against Miami, against New England, you could see he was just burning guys. He was creating his own holes. He's someone to really look forward to. I mean, he can catch. He showed that a little bit last year. I was at one of the practices last year, and he just burned the whole defense. Now, granted, they weren't running full speed or nothing, but he's shown it in games, too. I think he's going to be one of the best dual threat running backs in the league. I'm not saying that just because he's from my home team, but his talent is just phenomenal. He's going to be a guy that's going to get you over 1,000 yards, I think, starting this year in rushing, and he's going to get you at least, I think, 50 passes starting or 50 catches this year too. He's going to be someone you can depend on. I think he'll be somewhat similar to David Johnson when it comes to number wise. I think he'll be a David Johnson light, But yeah, oh man, at Stafford, like you guys know, I like taking quarterbacks later in drafts. I don't have a problem taking Stafford. He did very well the first 12 weeks of the season. And then come to find out, he ended up basically playing with a broken back, which is the reason why his numbers went dramatically downhill. Marvin Jones, who was, I think, played all of 7 games. I don't even think he wasn't healthy in, you could actually say, about 4 of them. So he only played 3 healthy games really all last year. Still finished with over 500 receiving yards, 5 touchdowns. And Galladay is going to be Galladay. I mean, he's shown flashes since he's been drafted. He's going to be a monster. I don't think he'll be anywhere near a DeAndre Hopkins or Devontae Adams, but he'll be a nice wide receiver one for you. But don't, like I mentioned with Jones, don't sleep on Jones, though. I mean, he was probably going to have a better season statistically than Kenny Galladay if he would have played all 16 games. You know, people forget that we're just a couple years removed of Marvin Jones actually looking like he's going to be one of the next top receivers once he signed with Detroit, because he was overshadowed by A.J. Green in Cincinnati. And he's talented. He's still young. C.J. Anderson, I think he's a perfect handcuff that you would want to take in fantasy because you can occasionally play him in the flex if needed. If Kerryon, who did have a little bit of injury history last year, if he misses more time, you can basically put C.J. Anderson in. And I don't think you're going to miss a beat at all just because C.J. Anderson is such a good running back. This team is going to be more run-heavy than it's ever been underneath Stafford, which I think is going to do wonders for him as a fantasy quarterback and a real-life quarterback. I think he's going to do less with – or he's going to do more with less because you always see that he gets kind of in trouble when he's throwing the ball 40-some-odd times a game. And it was he was forced to. We didn't have a running back that had the talent as Kerryon Johnson or C.J. Anderson. And then you have the tight ends. Jesse James, I think, is going to be – basically, you can play him. I would do it more based up on matchups because I do think T.J. Hockenson is going to come in and take the tight end one job. You know, being a Big Ten guy, watching him at Iowa, him and Noah Fant, was just – they were insane. I think Hockenson could potentially flirt with, top 10 tight end finish this year just because I'm not throwing all my faith at Danny Amendola being a guy that we were expecting Tate or a guy to replace Tate. Like I think everybody is expecting him to. He's certainly going to try, but I don't see that. I think a lot of it's going to be Kenny Galladay, Marvin Jones, and then T.J. Hockenson. And Matt Prater, he's not being drafted right now, but man, he's one of these sure things from 50 yards. I mean, him and like Justin Tucker, they just don't miss from 50 yards. I mean, if you get bonus points for, the longer the field goals are, the more points you get. I know I'm in one league. We get bonus points for every 50 plus yarder that's hit. I make sure I take Matt Prater every year just because he'll get you, he'll hit close to at least like 6, 7, 8 of them. And any extra bonus points for kickers and defenses are just – they help. I mean, as much as I know Eric doesn't like defenses as much, and I know one of our leagues, I think it was last year, we didn't even have a kicker. But if you have a kicker position, kickers are key. I mean, anything helps. And then the defense, I think the Lions defense is going to be a major upgrade than what people are expecting. Damian Harris is ending his holdout thing. Thank God about that. He's going to be one of our, men in the middle that's just going to stuff the run game. You know, with Aaron Jones being there, with David Montgomery or Mike Davis, it's going to be key. I mean, the defense, I think, is going to be fantasy useful. You might not draft them, but you'll definitely, I think, pick them up with the waiver. And like Eric does in playing mine with the Giants, Washington, Tampa, who I don't know. We don't know how good they're actually going to be yet. And even Green Bay. I mean, it seems like we've been playing Green Bay pretty well. So
whoa.
Well, we've took the last 4. So I mean, we've took the last 4.
You should hang a banner.
I would be up for it. Hey, since I can remember football, you have to remember I've been so used to getting beat, especially in Lambeau. I mean, it took them like 20 years of my life for me to see them beat Green Bay in Lambeau. So I'm up for hanging the banner. But I'm I'm looking forward to hanging the single bladder.
You guys have handed it to us the last couple of years. I'll give you that. We've gotten our butts kicked.
Yeah, no, I'm just – we'll hang that banner for this season and then take it down when, you know, win the North, win the Super Bowl. So I can get down with that for now.
Oof. Man, how do I follow that up, Jerry? Woof. Win the North. Well, let's see. Matt Stafford, am I still on?
You're on.
Okay, sorry, man. To Adam's point, Darrell Bevell, he had 10 seasons with a top 10 rusher, I believe is what his stat was, and that's true. And in those 10 seasons, the running back that to be accounted for was Marshawn Lynch and Adrian Peterson. Now, I like Kerryon Johnson. I think Kerryon Johnson is a really good running back. And could he be Adrian Peterson or Marshawn Lynch? That's a lofty goal. And so Kerryon Johnson is very polarizing to me because I don't know how I want to take him in the fourth round because I see a whole bunch of potential, especially with that stat, with this offense. You know, they're going to run the ball and run the ball and run the ball and run. That's what Darrell Bevell does. He runs and he runs and he doesn't care if he's losing by 20 points. He's going to run the ball. That's what Darrell Bevell does. And so I like Kerryon Johnson there, but I also really like C.J. Anderson. I think C.J. Anderson's kind of gotten a bad shake the last couple of years, and I think, you know, he finds himself they have a good offensive line and a good system to run the ball. And C.J. Anderson could straight up steal, you know, 30% of the work, and if he steals 30% and Theo Riddick steals 10-15, who knows, Theo Riddick might get cut. If Theo Riddick gets cut, then Kerryon Johnson's going on all my teams in the fourth round. I'll take him because there's just a divide there where I'm not sure about the workload and how it's going to shake out. But if Kerryon Johnson's straight up the third down back and taking first and second down work, I'll take him. So he kind of worries me, but I love the upside. I just worry about the crowded backfield. Kenny Golladay, I'm not touching in the fourth round. And that is less to say about Kenny Golladay as a receiver who I think is ultra-talented. But as I said, they're going to run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. Matt Stafford will probably throw the ball less than 500 times this year. And if he does that, then there's not going to be a lot of receiving options that are going to, you know, produce the kind of numbers that you want, especially not in the fourth round. So I wait five rounds, and I'll even step up a round earlier and take Marvin Jones in the eighth round. And as far as I'm concerned, he's the same guy as Kenny Golladay. 2 years ago, he finished as a wide receiver 6, I believe. Last year, he was putting up wide receiver 10, you know, top 10 numbers while he was on the field, and he missed a whole bunch of time. So if he comes back, he's healthy all year. I think you're going to get a steal from him in the ninth round. The tight ends, I like Hockenson a lot. He could come in. Darrell Bevell also produces very quality tight ends in his offense. That's another big part of that. So I like Hockenson. The one caveat is he's a rookie tight end. We all know about rookie tight ends. They typically do not come in and produce. I think Ingram's the only person in the past 10 years to finish as a tight end one. Or, you know, that stat could be wrong, but it's pretty bad for tight ends in general. It might be 7 years. I think Gronk did it when he came in. And other than Amendola, you know, he can't stay healthy. That's one thing with him. But, you know, he's stepping into the Patriots offense. You know, Patricia knows him and loves him. He's in the slot. And if Stafford's dinking and dunking, maybe there's some weeks you can plug him in. I'm not going to draft him. Obviously, I don't think he's draftable. But he might be somebody you can grab off waivers and play a week or two until he gets hurt. I'm not touching the defense. Not because I don't think they're going to be good. I just, you know, they're kind of middle of the road, and I don't know about the fantasy impact they're going to have. Matt Prater's a great kicker to grab. I'm with Adam on that. Most leagues have, you know, maybe a 1 point bonus for 50 plus kicks, and, you know, I'll snatch them up. So, interesting stat, the Detroit Lions, not only are the only team to go 0-16, did the Browns go 0-16 for a year? They did?
Yes.
Yeah, so one of the only teams to do that, and also the only team to be winning for 60 minutes in a game and still lose. 60 solid minutes. That's a great stat.
Oh, what do you got to say about that, Adam?
The best thing was, if you don't bring up that far in the past, if you look at the most recent outcome is, if I'm mistaking, Eric, you can correct me, it was 31-0.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Aaron Rodgers was playing on a broken leg. And
I mean,
I won't make excuses. It was an ass whooping.
Let's just say Stafford had a broken back. I mean, he had several pieces in his back that was broken. So I mean,
yeah.
It's easier to throw with a messed up leg than it is with a broken back.
How many division titles though?
They're coming. And see, the Game of Thrones ended because they knew winter was coming, and they're all coming. We're copying the Patriots so much. I look at it this way: we're gonna end up being the Patriots soon. I mean, we're just gonna go, and eventually Green Bay is gonna be the Buffalo Bills of the division. And
whoa!
It's all gonna be happy.
Let's leave me out of this. We're not talking about the AFC East here.
That's true. And hey, Jerry, the Buffalo Bills have been kind of a laughing stock team. That's true. But can you count how many division titles they've had? Because I can't. It's it's probably 10, 15.
Yeah, we got to go back into the 90s or so.
Yeah, well, a lot in the 90s, but they were also good in the, before that, 70s, 60s. Adam, you didn't answer my question. How many division titles?
To be determined.
All right. Well, I got a fun little game for Adam, actually. But before we get into that, let me give a little thoughts on what I think about the Lions, besides that they suck. I do love Kerryon Johnson. And actually, before we started everything, I wanted to just mention about just the division as a whole for running backs. I absolutely love Dalvin Cook. I love Kerryon Johnson. And I love Aaron Jones. And I would be happy with any of them as my RB2. And even I wouldn't go as far as to say Kerryon and just Kerryon is my RB1, but I would take any one of those three and maybe even double up on two of them if given the chance in the second and third round. I'd be happy with any one of them. Staying away from Chicago's running back situation, but those other three I absolutely love this year. And as you mentioned, Eric, Kenny Galladay is going a whole five rounds earlier than Marvin Jones, getting better value out of Marvin Jones. Matt Stafford going late in the 14th, in about the 14th round, but definitely somebody that has the potential to put up a 5,000-yard season. And I'm glad you guys mentioned Jesse James because I think he has a pretty decent year in Detroit. I know TJ Hockenson was their first-round pick. And he's actually the one that's going drafted in fantasy leagues, and Jesse James isn't even going drafted, but I think they both can put up solid numbers. I'm not going to put any predictions on them and say if they're going to finish top 10 or top 15 or anything like that, but I definitely think that Jesse James, he did sign a big contract, so they're not just going to turn to TJ Hockenson right away and say, here's all this money, we don't need you to do anything. They're going to use him. Danny Amendola playing in the slot there. Stafford does like to hit the short passes. I think if he can't stay healthy, he can also have a decent, relevant season. I'm not drafting him, staying away from him, but definitely something that, as a Detroit Lions fan, I think I'd be pretty excited about the offense as a whole. As far as their fantasy rookies, I already mentioned TJ Hockenson, but Ty Johnson is another one. He's more of a deep handcuff. I know, Adam, you mentioned Kerryon, we all did, and then you mentioned C.J. Anderson, but you didn't really go beyond them. They still have Riddick there. They got Ty Johnson there. So it's pretty deep there too, but definitely Ty Johnson is somebody to look out for, especially if they do tend to shape out the running back situation there. Maybe one or two are gone before week one of the season. And then Prater, I'm glad you mentioned him. He's been one of my favorite kickers for the last few years. And we got to remember, he plays in a dome 9 games out of the year, including the 8 in Detroit, and then Minnesota has a dome too. So definitely some favorable kicking power there. So overall, like a lot of these guys, I think they could be fantasy relevant. And glad we got to talk some good stuff on the NFC North here. Before we get into the little game I got, I ask this every show or every divisional show, do we have anybody that maybe we forgot and just remembered now, or somebody that you want to mention, anything like that that we forgot from this division at all?
I think it's more of how crazy stacked this division is as a whole for fantasy and in real life. It's all jokes aside, I think it's going to be probably the toughest division to win this year. just because, let's be honest, these quarterbacks, the running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, even the defenses are coming up now. I mean, these teams are just neck and neck. And I feel bad for the defenses more than anything else because they have to go against these offenses. Like, you have two games against Detroit. You have two games against Green Bay, Chicago, Minnesota. I mean, these defenses are going to be in trouble. I mean, it's there's probably you can honestly argue that's the most talented overall division in football. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, you even look at Cousins, who's being slept on, and he had 30 passing touchdowns last year. I mean, it's definitely something interesting to keep an eye on this year for real life and fantasy. I mean, if you want to throw in, if you really want to get something for running back too, if you're in a deeper league, is Zach Zenner. Detroit re-signed him for a reason. It's insurance because he can go a little bit. He's not going to be a focal point for anybody's defense, no matter if he was on – if he was playing behind Zeke's line in in Dallas – he doesn't have the it factor to be the main guy, but if he ever had to split carries with like Kerryon or with CJ, he could have some sneaky value because he can run. I mean, the dude doesn't go down. I mean, and plus he's put on some pounds this offseason, and he looks like a miniature tank.
Eric, anybody that you could think of, any last minute guys?
Last minute guys. I mean, no, I don't think so necessarily. Well, Jamal Williams is a good guy. I mean, he's going so late that if you're grabbing Aaron Jones in the third, he's actually a pretty decent handcuff. He has when Aaron Jones went down last year, Jamal Williams stepped in and was a really good running back. You know, he can pass protect, he can do all the things that the little things that can keep him on the field if he's, you know, the number one option and not go off on third downs or anything. But the division as a whole, Madam's right, it's the best division in football. I mean, when the Lions are the worst team in your division and they're still fairly talented, I mean, I will give Adam that. There's some talent on that roster. The defense could be good. The offense is you know, the Lions good. They got some, you know, yeah, they got some pieces. So I think the North is going to be a battlefield this year, and it's going to be fun to watch.
Well, if there's one thing that's for certain, the NFC North definitely is the most expensive division when it comes to quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, and Matt Stafford all making a pretty hefty penny. And speaking of quarterbacks, so Adam, I'm going to test your knowledge here. Since 1992, when Brett Favre came in, well, when Brett Favre came to the Packers, he came in a little earlier than 92. The Packers have pretty much only had Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers as their consistent quarterbacks. I know Rodgers has missed a couple of games here and there. They've had to have Matt Flynn come in there and a handful of games there. But for the most part, it's just mostly been them two. Within that time frame, 13 Lions quarterbacks have started at least 5 games in a season. I left off all the 2-game starters, the 1-game starters, the 3- and 4-game starters, just going into the 5 games or more. Let's see how many you can name.
Charlie Batch, John Kitna, Dan Avalski, Matt Stafford. The 1 year that Stafford tore his ACL, who was that? Sean. I know his name too. Is Sean
Hill?
Sean Hill. I think I mentioned Joey Harrington. Oh, and I'm gonna go Dante Culpepper. He was their Stafford's rookie year. I think Stafford missed like 9 games, and I'm pretty much clueless about the rest.
All right, so you kind of. Missed the 90s guys. You did get a lot of them. You kind of missed the 90s guys. Rodney Pete. He was the first one on the list, so that was back in 92. I don't have the years in front of me. I just started out going back to 92. But Rodney Pete's in there. Scott Mitchell.
Oh, man, he made so much money.
Dave Krieg or Craig. Craig. I don't know how to say that. And then Dan Majkowski. So those are the 90s guys. And then two guys that – because you had Charlie Batch and you had Joey Harrington, so two other guys that you might have seen play. One, Gus Frerotte.
Yes.
And then the last one is a guy that we know. I'll give you a couple clues here. Let's see if you could get him. He played in San Fran. Played with T.O. in San Fran.
Had some good weeks. He had some good backup there. And
played with the Browns, too. The Browns, like, he was a big signing for the Browns.
He was a big signing for the Browns.
The backup to Steve Young.
Shit. I know.
He kind of lacked in the hair department.
Hispanic, you know, last name.
White first name.
That helps. I'm probably going to
Jeff Steve. Garcia.
Jeff Garcia. Yes, yes.
How could you forget about Jeff Garcia?
You know, I was thinking Jeff Garcia, and I'm like, how many years was he with Tampa Bay? Because for some reason, I remember him more with Tampa Bay than Detroit.
I remember him more with the Niners.
Niners, yeah, for me.
Yeah. But not Jeff Garcia. He was actually pretty decent, though. I mean,
he was okay.
I kind of wonder what would happen if he had, like, a better overall team. And, hey, just for the whole situation about us having all them quarterbacks and basically Green Bay having two, how the hell do they have Favre and Rodgers, but they only won one Super Bowl apiece?
Oh, whoa now.
Okay, hey, but you have Tom Brady.
How long has Matt Stafford been playing?
Okay, here's the thing, though. Tom Brady is hogging up all the damn rings.
Well, okay, yeah. So
you give – we're going to be fair. We're going to give an extra one to Rodgers. We're going to give one to whatever quarterback Jerry wants to pick for Buffalo, and we're going to give one to the Lions just because he can't haul them out.
I don't want to pick any quarterbacks for Buffalo. We've probably had more than you in the past since 1992, so you guys could play that game with me next week. But, but yeah, it's definitely going to be a fun division to watch. It was an awesome show. Let's start our closing out and let's move on here. But any last words before we get out of here?
There's like, what, 10 days till football? I think the Hall of Fame game, I think it's about 10 days out or something. And that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I think all the North teams start by Friday. If not all teams with all veterans and rookies are starting within the next 5 or 6 days. And that's when things really get going, is in training camp. We start really, you know, deciphering some of these positional competitions. And that's exciting for us fantasy guys.
For sure.
Yeah, definitely going to have some good stuff to talk about the next couple podcasts. We got the whole AFC to cover, 4 more weeks of that, and we're pretty much, 5-6 weeks away from the regular season. So we're going to be, as these next 4 podcasts go on, we're actually going to be kind of narrowing down these position battles and getting to them. Again, there's a lot of holdouts going on, a lot of quite a few injuries already. A couple guys already out for the season. On the Falcons, they have Michael Bennett, not the one from the Patriots and the Eagles, but Michael Bennett. He's out, and they just had another injury today. I believe it was. I forgot who it was. So, but definitely good time of year, but also bad time of year, because players that are trying to get out there are getting hurt. But that's part of the game. Keep in mind, we do have the draft guide coming. We are working very hard on that. That is definitely going to be coming out. Tyreek Hill kind of put a little bump in the road there. We had to move a couple people down, move a couple people up, but that's going to be coming out early part of August. And the Fantasy Football Fraternity Facebook page it's on and popping every single day. We got, like I said, we got breaking news, any injury that happens, any cut that happens, anybody that doesn't show up to camp, we are posting all that. So that's why we're not going over too much of it here on the podcast, because it is all out on the page. So check that out there. And that's pretty much all I got. So Fantasy Football Fraternity, check us out on Facebook.